Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the Dufont LeRoy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, in westerly Rhode Island, this is episode 159 of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny southwest Florida, joined by Mr. Klinsman up in westerly. Are you shoveled out, buddy?
Yeah, it was kind of a dud.
Was it a dud?
Yeah.
Did Forster Gloucester get hammered?
Up through the middle of Massachusetts, parts of Connecticut got hammered, but most of Rhode Island was unscathed.
That's a good thing.
So listen to this. You'll get a kick out of this story. On Monday, the National Weather Service realized that the storm was going to be a dud, a lot less than they had originally predicted.
Yep.
But they had a conference call between the meteorologists from Washington, New York, Boston, and Philly. And they all had a conference call, and they decided not to change their predictions because they didn't want to cause confusion amongst the public. So instead of telling the truth and reporting what they felt was going to happen, they decided to hold back that information for some reason. I guess they feel like the public couldn't handle a change in the snow accumulation totals, or I don't really understand the reasoning behind that, but they decided to stay. It was still going to be 18 inches, even though they knew it would be about 6 to 8 at that point.
So they're like the mainstream media.
That's
what it sounds like to me, holding the truth.
I guess you could say that. That's kind of what I was implying. I didn't necessarily...
I'll say it for you, Jürgen.
It's ridiculous. Like, I don't understand. They have to just make things up so we will be more safe. I don't know what the whole plan was behind that, but it's kind of ridiculous. And then, on top of it, even if they are doing that, why don't they just keep it to themselves and say, oh, we ended up wrong, it did this at the last minute and we were wrong. And then they come out the next day and say, oh, we knew all along it wasn't going to be much, but we didn't want to tell you. What's the worst way to go about business?
They're just liars.
I guess telling the truth would be the best way. If you're going to lie, why lie and then tell everyone that you lie about it?
Or do you think they completely swung and missed and now they're just covering up?
Oh, that's almost worse. I'd rather have them say we completely swung and missed.
That doesn't look good for them.
I guess not. Look, this looks worse, though. Who would you trust more? The person that comes out and says, hey, I messed up, you know, I had it wrong, we're going to do better next time. Or when something goes wrong, they come out and say, well, I knew it was going to happen, but I did it so you guys would learn a lesson, or that I thought it would be better for you.
And I stayed glued to WBZ and Elliot Abrams in the newsroom. I was listening to him on my smartphone. They weren't your typical weather terrorists. I mean, they were saying that it was going to change over to rain and freezing or sleet in Boston. So maybe they weren't part of that cover-up.
Yeah, that cabal. I mean, it wasn't... That's basically what happened. It was pretty bad early on. We got a lot of snow quick. Then it changed over to rain for most of the day, and then it became that wet mud.
Yeah.
But I don't really have any snow on my lawn right now.
Oh, wow.
It didn't take me long to shovel. But up at the Cranston compound, they probably got about 8 inches.
Yep. Yeah, that looked like a big old pile of filth.
Yeah, my father said this morning, he said that it was miserable to shovel. But it took me no time to do mine, because I have a small driveway, and there was nothing in the driveway, just at the end where they plowed. I just had to clear that nonsense out, and then it was pretty much done.
Now, do you have to get on a stepladder to clean off that minivan of yours?
You know, it was... usually, yeah. I mean, it's hard to get the very tippy top of it.
Oh, you're not one of those who's on 95 and a big, like, 20-inch pile of sludge comes flying off and drills the guy in back of him, are you?
No, I'm just saying
that... Don't tell me you're one of those, Jürgen.
No, at this storm, because there was so much rain, I didn't have any snow on the van, so okay. I didn't have to do anything.
Now, what about when you do get snow? I hope that you get that thing down the pavement and you're not hitting the people behind you.
No, I get it cleared as best as I can.
As best as you
can.
There
might be like a quarter of an inch on the top that melts off while I preheat the car.
Mm, I see.
You know, so you call me a weasel?
Yes.
Hey, it's easy to clear off a Jetta when you have the man van. Sometimes you got to exert your dominance on the highway and throw some snow at the people behind you.
That's horrible.
I saw a girl come on the highway around exit 6 up in Coventry this morning. And she had her whole windshield was covered except for about a 1 foot diameter circle. Like, everything was completely covered in snow, and there was just like a little circle cut out.
She's the one that texts with one hand and puts her makeup on with the other.
Yeah, I'm sure. I was like, I had Jürgina in the car with me, and I just like sped up to get past her.
You gotta get past her, yeah. Do not be in her blind spot. You're screwed.
She had 90% blind
90%
spot.
Of it was blind spot. That's true.
And you're right. I'm sure she was texting or doing something on the phone on the way anyway. So that was a good one. That's a Rhode Island move, huh?
Yes. Now you implied that the meteorologists were like the mainstream media. Now are you implying that women are inferior drivers, or am I reading too much into that?
No, I didn't imply that at all. Oh, okay. I just said that's just a typical Rhode Island move.
But you were saying you were talking trash about her.
Yeah, she's a dope. I would have talked trash if it was a guy driving with a little 1 foot diameter too.
Okay.
I don't take gender into it here. I'm an equal opportunity basher.
Okay. All right.
So what's new with you in Florida? I heard you're getting a cold front as well here.
Oh yeah, I was just at Publix. I had my Red Sox windbreaker. I'm telling you, Bill, this feels like when you get a big warm snap up in Minnesota, and you didn't have to wear your burly jacket. You could break out, you know, the long sleeves and the Red
just
Sox
a hoodie
windbreaker.
Or something, yeah.
And that's what it felt like. I was at Publix and I was talking. An old guy was ringing me up and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. You're gonna have to go to the other aisle." I'm like, "Not a Red Sox fan." He showed me his Yankee tattoo. So he's like, "What's up with the jacket?" He said, "Would you go to a game?" I'm like, "No, it's just the first opportunity in a year that I've been able to wear something like this."
It's funny, though, because last week you were saying how you won't see a low 60s
you won't see
until
in the 60s.
January.
We didn't even get into the 60s today. I kept checking my smartphone. Sir kept asking me what the temperature was, and it was 58, 59. Stayed steady throughout the day.
That's cold.
And tomorrow's going to be... Tomorrow they were talking about... The record in the Bay Area is 36 for this date. And they said they're going to be about 39, 40 waking up tomorrow. So that's real cool. That's real cool.
You might see your breath in the morning.
Oh, absolutely. The exhaust in front. Yeah, the exhaust on your car.
You have to go out and warm your car up.
Yeah, I probably have to warm it up. Make sure that the antifreeze and all that's topped off. You know, when you get the real cold temperature, you can't have the gas tank. You got to have that gas tank. My mom always told me you got to have at least a half a tank of gas when it's cold out.
I never understood that.
I never did
either.
Yeah, I think that's
BS. Like, what does that mean? So a full tank can't freeze, but a quarter of a tank can?
Correct. I think that's what what she was implying.
I don't know what the temperature that gasoline freezes at, but I know it's a lot colder than anything we'll experience.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure you could be fine on an eighth of a tank in those Minnesota days when it gets down in the negatives. But yeah, that's one of those, that's some of that Yankee wisdom, right? That Rhode Island knowledge.
Milk and bread.
I'm sure you fill up. It's going to get cold. Fill the tank up.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
I don't know. That's a silly thing.
So are you in your deep freeze now?
Yeah, it was cold today. It was very cold. I guess it's going to be pretty cold tomorrow and then bounce up a little bit. They're saying there's a chance of another system coming on Saturday.
Yep.
We'll see. We'll keep an eye on that in the Por Favor Weather Studio. What'd you say, the Weather Lab?
It was called the Lab on the Weather Channel. I thought that was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
That's very nerdy.
You'd have like so-and-so out on 495 in Massachusetts, and then you'd have the split screen, and then you'd see like Dr. Greg Forbes in the lab.
The lab. Yeah, I guess they were expecting pretty bad because I think they had Mr. Cantori up in the Massachusetts area for this one. But it didn't turn out as bad as they thought.
Jimmy was in Chanhassen, Minnesota years ago at the National Weather Service when we were having really bad tornadoes and thunderstorms.
Oh, boy.
And that was one of those surprises, you know. You see that we're going to get some really bad weather at night, and you turn on the Weather Channel, and Cantori's 5 miles from your house. Never, never good.
No, that's not... You don't want him in your town.
You don't want him in your state, let alone, like, 4 miles in your backyard.
Yeah, that's true.
You see the
He's
weather
out reporting in front of the condo
house,
complex.
Cantori's there. That's not good.
Yeah, yeah. The van drives by. The Weather Channel van drives by your front lawn.
Exactly. WBZ Morning News Time is 8:25. Did you do any of those? I used to love those. WHJ Morning News Time, 8:30. Oh, you didn't do that?
No, we weren't live when I did the news and stuff like that, so I couldn't give the time because if the programming ran long, then I'd sound like a buffoon. So more of a buffoon than normal.
You couldn't do weather on the eights and like have like your little song do traffic and weather on the eights.
We had music and stuff, but I didn't say what the time was.
Oh,
like that.
You know what I love about AM radio? Because I'm such a cheeseball and I like to listen to the morning news. They give you the morning time like every minute. WBZ Morning News Time, it's 8:26. WBZ Morning News Time, it's 8:27.
It is very stupid, especially in this day and age. Like, where do you not have the time?
Yeah, exactly.
95% of the listening devices that you're going to hear that on display the time prominently on it. So you don't really need to know what time it is at the
WBZ
News Studio. It's like the 1080 in Hartford. They have the little sound that plays in the background when you hit the top of the hour, no matter what.
Oh, so, what like, was it? Was doing, it re- what was it?
It goes, doo-doo-doo-doo. It's just like a tone.
Oh.
But they'll be doing like UConn play-by-play, and you'll hear the top of the hour just go, doo-doo-doo-doo. It's nerdy. It's nerdy old school radio stuff.
Yeah, WCCO, which is one of the oldest stations in Minnesota, whenever they would do the weather, you'd hear, and I always enjoyed that. That's when you knew that you were going to get some real bad forecasts.
Like a breaking into the middle of programming?
Yeah.
They had the Dan Savage show on, all of a sudden you hear that little whistle and you know you're in trouble.
Yeah, it's time for weather. Because I'll always listen to that when they get in a cold snap. I'll wake up in the morning when I have to work it. At noon, and I'll just put on WCCO.
Yeah. All right, Bill, we're BSing. We got a big episode going on.
Yeah, we've got a big episode, so are you
but
saying...
But I have my beer.
So instead of going to break, we got to listen to your beer?
Well, this beer is themed to this week's episode.
Oh, okay.
So without giving away the episode, I'll tell you that I'm drinking a Dogfish Head Beer for Breakfast Stout. And it says it's a stout, tricked out with all sorts of breakfast ingredients. Huge notes of coffee in the nose give way to sweet, smoky, and savory layers in the flavor. Ale brewed with scrapple, spices, coffee, and maple syrup with coffee added. Brewed and bottled by Dogfish Head Brewery, Milton, Delaware. 7.4% alcohol. Let's see. I haven't taken a sip yet, so you'll get my first reaction right here.
All right.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's actually... It's got a lot of flavors going on.
Let's hear about what your palate's saying right now, Mr.
You Clinton. Get a little bit of smoke right off the beginning, a smoky flavor.
Why don't you do your NPR voice?
The first notes that hit your palate is a light smokiness. Then, secondary comes in with a bit of bitterness, and the tertiary flavor is the coffee notes at the end. A maple flavor coats your mouth as you finish your swallow and go in for the next sip. This has been the Por Favor Beer Review.
Very well done.
All right, on that note, I guess you could take us to break.
We'll go to break now, Bill. Back from break. This is episode 159 of the Por Favor podcast, and we are in the middle of March, Bill, which means only one thing.
Do 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 do
do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do Do you want me to do the extended version, or do you want me to cut it off?
No, that's good.
Is that good? Okay.
I actually have to ask you, though, right off the bat.
Yes.
Do you like that song better, or the One Shining Moment?
Oh, I like the one that I just did.
Do you? See, I like One Shining Moment because it's so nerdy.
It's really nerdy.
The ball is tipped. You went with the extended version anyway, huh? Anyway, this week we're going to do our Por Favor March Madness, and this year we're going to do a breakfast bracket. Is that correct?
Well, we're done with the rides. We tried that on our first go about, and...
That was a big failure.
We were bored as hell, weren't we? Now we have Space Mountain versus Toy Story Mania. I'm like half asleep. I'm watching the 16-16 playing game.
Yeah, and then we had people on, and they ruined it for us the next year.
Oh, because we had cheerleaders on.
We had like Safari Melnick, and he's we have all these beautiful restaurants, and he has like everything pop upsetting it because he doesn't like seafood or something.
Yeah. He likes the bread service at Sana'a.
Yeah. So now we're back for this one, and this is our fourth one, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember what we did last year.
It was memorable, though, that's for sure.
I think it was just food last year.
Was it?
I think it was just restaurants, and I don't even remember who won. So yeah, we're really memorable now. But this year we're doing just 16 seeds, and we're going to crown the best breakfast on property today.
Now, this is pretty sick because we actually wanted to see if I had been, or a combination of you and I had been, to 16 breakfast spots outside of the parks to mention.
Correct. Yeah, outside the parks. And we were able to come up with 16 of them between the two of us. And I think you've been to all 16.
That is correct.
And even though I've been to some,
yep.
not all.
Yep.
But everyone I've been to, you've been to.
That is correct.
Actually, that might not be true. Did you eat breakfast at Art of Animation?
That's a big negative, sir.
Oh, so that's the one that's I've been to.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, you want me to reveal the seeds?
Yeah,
right
let's
now?
Go. Let's go through it.
All right. So
selection,
in our first matchup,
selection Sunday here, Jürgen.
Yes, the 1 vs. 16. We have Boma Flavors of Africa, the buffet at Animal Kingdom Lodge, against Everything Pop, the dining hall there at Pop Century. So that's the 1-16 matchup. Interesting matchup. Then we have the 8-9 matchup. Is Las Ventanas. I don't know if that's how that's
Las
pronounced.
Las Ventanas. Very well.
Las Ventanas. That is at Coronado, going up against Cape May Cafe.
And you pronounced that one correctly as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The 4 vs. 13 matchup pits the Grand Floridian Cafe against Ohana. The 5-12 is Wave, .. of American Flavors, mm-hmm. against Trattoria El Forno.
Mm-hmm.
6-11, we have Kona Cafe versus the Trails End. That's a very interesting matchup, I have to say. The 3-14 is 1900 Park Fair against the Contempo Cafe. 7-10, we have Whispering Canyon Cafe against Rainforest Cafe. A lot of these places are called cafe, I'm realizing.
Wow, yep.
Number 2 seed, Captain's Grill.
Yep.
Against the number 15, the aforementioned Landscape of Flavors at Art of Animation.
Now, before you jump into us, can we get Dick Vitale? I want him to kind of go over the seedings and if he thought that we left somebody out or somebody was higher. What are you thinking?
Yeah, you have him on the line here?
No, I thought you had him on Skype, no?
Oh, okay, let me see if I could pot him up.
Listen to me, baby! We got Contempo Cafe coming in at a 14.
I don't do a good Dick Vitale impersonation. You put me on the spot. I got nothing. We don't have any snubs. Who would be a snub, Bill?
I don't know.
That's usually he gets all fired up about a snub.
Yep.
It's like, these kids worked hard all year, and they don't get included. It's a shame. It's a travesty, baby. Diaper dandies.
I don't know. Who's left out? Chef Mickey's?
Never been there.
No, I know. That's the thing. We didn't have any that we've been to that didn't make the cut because we just barely had enough.
Yeah, there may have been one or two, but you're right.
And my Dick Vitale impersonation is not good enough to get this bit.
I've been to Pepper Market at Coronado Springs, which is pretty good.
The quick service, yeah, there, that's right. Yeah, and I've eaten at the Caribbean Beach quick serve for breakfast.
Yeah,
a couple times anyway when we were there. But yeah, other than that, nothing really got knocked out. So you want to get into these matchups then?
Let's go.
We'll start with the 1-16. We have Boma against Everything Pop. And this is a matchup that I've eaten at both, so I can really chime in here.
Now, why don't you talk about the Everything Pop first? Because you were a pretty big fan.
I'm a very big fan of Everything Pop. I think they do what they do very well. You know what you're getting. You know what you're going in with. You're getting the simple quick service breakfast, but they have a couple entrees that stand out.
And now, you know, the quick serves, for those of you who don't know, they all have pretty much the Mickey waffles, the cereal, the danishes, and then
the
I think everyone
platter.
Has the bounty platter.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So with that being said, I would say their signature entree is the chicken fried chicken for breakfast.
Let's get into that because that is a big old pile of filth. You not only had that once, but you had that twice, did you not, Mr. Klinsman?
Twice in 2 days, I believe.
Was it twice in 2 days? Because the second time was with your favorite cousin.
Oh, that's right, because we had the Trails End in between.
Correct.
But this chicken fried chicken, so it's basically just a deep fried chicken breast cutlet smothered in sausage gravy with a little biscuit on the side and scrambled eggs. $9.49. Now, price isn't coming into this. We didn't really get into it. This is has nothing to do with price or value. This is just on the merits of the restaurants on their own.
That is correct.
So it doesn't matter if one costs $44 for a buffet. We're going to look at it at the same same baseline here. So this meal, this breakfast, you tried it.
Yes.
After I talked it up and you saw the YouTube video. And you were impressed, were you not?
Yes, you are correct, sir. That was a good pile of mud.
That's some of the best chicken that you'll find, definitely at a quick service.
There's no doubt about it. I was expecting that that hard stuff that you can barely cut into with one of those plastic knives, but that was not the case at all.
No, nice and tender and moist. Good crust on it. The sausage gravy was delicious. The eggs, yeah, you're getting quick service scrambled eggs. Nothing to write home
about. And that's all you can say. They're just quick service scrambled eggs, and we'll leave it at that.
That's definitely a point against it. And then if you look at some of their other unique breakfast options, they have a breakfast flatbread with sausage gravy, scrambled eggs, bacon, ham, and cheddar cheese on a flatbread. So that's a good thing. And then this little piece of filth that I did not try is a Pop-Tart breakfast sandwich.
Oh, that sounds absolutely awful.
Eggs, bacon, and cheese served in between frosted strawberry Pop-Tarts.
I mean, that is your pop client right there. Talk about catering to your typical client. You got the guy with four teeth. He's got the wife beater. He's still got the grease on his hands, and he's having Pop-Tarts breakfast sandwich, Bill.
And you know what? He's not using the newest Disney mug either. He's got like the old school.
He's got the one where the handle's broken in half, and he has to like hold it by the base because you can't use the handle.
Yeah, it's got Disney Inn on it or something.
Yeah,
hasn't been a resort for 23 years, and he's got the mug.
You can't even read it because it's just been all washed out from using the dishwasher. Doesn't that? You wouldn't eat that, would you?
I would try it.
I wouldn't like it,
but I would try it just for the experience.
They're not serving that at Grand Floridian Cafe. I'd like to ask for that, actually. Hey, yeah, well, I was just a pop the other day. Can you get me the Pop-Tarts breakfast sandwich?
Victoria and Albert's.
There's not much on this table. Menu
so
that
what is
I
something
like.
That you really like?
Yeah.
Pop-Tart breakfast sandwich. Sure. Excuse me, sir, you have to leave.
Guys playing the Frank Viola and you're scoffing down a Pop-Tart breakfast sandwich.
All right, so as much as we love everything pop, it's going up against Boma, which is a juggernaut.
Oh, this was...
Of the breakfast game.
You still dream about this place, don't you?
This buffet was on point. That's all I could say. Everything that I tried, I enjoyed. Those carved meats were amazing.
We got our pictures taken in front of that plate, in front of the meats, didn't we?
We're talking about a breakfast buffet, a breakfast bracket here. And the first two items I'm going to talk about is chicken and then carved turkey, which are not normally breakfast items. But that turkey was phenomenal. That mustard dipping sauce that they had with it was so good.
Yeah.
Everything. The African dishes, they had different kind of corned beef hash. They had that asparagus and tomatoes that were fire grilled.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was good that I tried. They had the make your own omelet that they do fresh for you right in front of you. They had the pop, the chakalaka, the babodi, all those African-inspired dishes. Everything was good. I enjoyed all of it, and it was a great relaxing time as well. It's not like Weasel Central.
Yeah, no, there's no characters. We went with Susie and Matheri.
Mm-hmm. Those are the two biggest weasels there.
Yeah.
We had to keep them in line during our breakfast.
Now,
I'm
going to give a pour favor tip real quick. I think this is a great spot for like a late breakfast. Let's call this a brunch because of the variety of meats. This is a great place where you can have a good brunch, wouldn't you say?
You know, you can kind of like work it over. You get there at 10:30 or something, get a little bit of eggs to start on your first meal, maybe a pancake, and then you go through and get some fruit and some ham and turkey and some of the other more lunchy type options, and you kind of kill two birds.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you're saying. I think with that being said, we're in agreement that Boma's going to advance into the second round.
Let's not waste any more time. Should we go down to, what are we going to go, 215? Yep.
Yeah. So we have Captain's Grill against Landscape of Flavors. And I know Captain's Grill is one of your favorite joints on property, period. and you're a huge breakfast guy, mm-hmm. so you're a big fan of this breakfast, are you not?
I am.
What's something that you've had? Do you have their menu up?
Well, here? I had the lobster omelet,
and so now they got a crab omelet. It looks
yeah,
like.
It's
so,
like a blue crab. I think it's a blue crab this time. They change it seasonally.
Mm-hmm. Now look at now. This is something that I didn't notice before.
What's
at
that?
Captain's Grill. They have a buffet option.
They do. See, they're just like, they're like the wave.
This is like
so
the wave,
it's
yeah.
like the wave, so you have, you know, you sit down, because Susie's not a huge buffet person. She doesn't like to
right.
slobber on all that fill, so she likes mm-hmm. to get some type of specialty pancake or a good omelet or something. So, you know, it's the one where you and I can load up on all that garbage and the girls can have something that
just what they
suits
want,
their
yeah.
needs, exactly.
But that's nice. It's $18.99 for the buffet. You get fruit, yogurt, pastries, smoked salmon, bread pudding, oatmeal, Mickey waffles, cereal, bacon sausage, potatoes, eggs, a frittata, and it includes your drink for $18.99. So mm-hmm. that's not bad.
No.
Other options include a petite strip loin and eggs. Sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The lump crab omelet that you were talking about. Tailored eggs, which is two eggs, potatoes, and choice of basic bacon or sausage. It's just basically a bounty platter. More or less.
Yep.
This fried egg sandwich sounds good with serrano ham, aged parmesan tomatoes, onion marmalade, and seasoned arugula with roasted potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Shrimp and pepper jack cheese grits with poached eggs, wilted spinach, and a roasted tomatillo salsa. Dark chocolate waffles with a dried cherry compote, espresso mascarpone cream, chocolate shavings, and a choice of bacon or sausage. Challah French toast, salted caramel bananas, white chocolate, banana puree, and toasted pistachios. Lemon ricotta hotcakes.
Now, this is what that, right? Susie did have this.
And she said it was amazing.
Said it was amazing.
I know that's one of their specialties. So there's a lot of very fancy options, and they're not expensive at all.
No.
Looks like a great place. Landscape of Flavors was nice. I had the bounty platter when I went, so I didn't really get anything out of the ordinary.
You know what I think's interesting about the bounty platter is they give you sausage, they're actually turkey sausage patties.
Yes, you're right. So I had the bounty platter, which came with eggs, potatoes, bacon sausage, a biscuit, and character waffle. Actually, that's not what I had. I had the one with fresh fruit. So I had the character waffles with fruit and bacon. That's what I had, because I didn't want the eggs. So I went with that. The waffles were fine, just like any waffle. They're like the little Mickey waffles, except these were character waffles based on the movies at Art of Animation.
Uh-huh.
But they do have some interesting options here. If you look at the steak and egg breakfast burger.
Oh, that sounds
one beautiful. 1/3-pound Angus burger topped with a fried egg, cheddar cheese, and bacon, served with breakfast potatoes or house seasoned fries.
Yeah.
They have the challah French toast as well. You could get it with plain with bacon. You can get it with fruit, or you can get it with fruit and bacon. Create your own cereal bowl, which is a little different. So you get cereal and toppings all mixed together. Frittata, egg white frittata. World Flavors breakfast platter. You get scrambled eggs, potatoes, sausage, bacon, and mini naan bread. So there's a little bit different.
That
it's
breakfast
probably
chicken burger sounds really good, too.
Oh, where's that? I didn't even see
it's
that.
It's topped with pepper jack cheese and green chili omelet, served Ooh. With breakfast potatoes and house-seasoned fries.
That does sound good. So we're looking at a very similar type option to the Pop Century,
mm-hmm.
but they have some different, more eclectic options, let's say.
And that's the thing. I mean, if you're on the quick-service dining plan and you're staying at Pop, just go across the bridge because it looks like there's more options on
well,
the
but you know what
menu.
It is? There's different options. So instead of doing the same breakfast every day at Pop, go back and forth every other day, switch it up, try something different. Because they are very close. It's only about an 8 to 10 minute walk
yeah.
to get over to Art of Animation.
Yep.
And it's a nice walk too, actually.
Yeah, it's a very nice walk.
All that being said, Captain's Grill moving on, correct?
That's correct. Let's go back to our seatings.
So Landscape of Flavors is gone. We got Captain's Grill moving on. And then now we have 1900 Park Fair versus Contempo Cafe. 1900 is an all-you-can-eat character buffet with Mary Poppins, Alice, the Mad Hatter, and other characters subject to change. The price range is $29 to $36 for adults. And then some of their signature offerings are the Floridian strawberry soup, cheese blintzes, smoked salmon lox with toppings, omelets, and eggs made to order, house-made corned beef hash, classic eggs benedict, and yogurt bar. They have a carving station, which can have ham or other kinds of meats. Then they have breakfast favorites like pancakes, bagels, hash browns, biscuits and gravy, sausage, bacon, French toast, pastries, scrambled eggs, oatmeal, grits, potatoes O'Brien, stewed tomatoes, jasmine rice, and crushed avocado. I don't know if those are considered breakfast favorites, but that's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question, when's the last time you've been?
The last time I went was in 2011.
Okay, so it's been a few years
now. It has
now.
Been, yep.
I know one of their signatures was the lobster eggs Benedict, but it doesn't show that here.
Yeah, I don't see those. Yeah, because the last time I was there, it was there.
So that's interesting. I wonder if that's gone, because that could be a hit against it. And then the sweet treats that they have, bread pudding with vanilla sauce, cinnamon buns, and donut holes. All sounds good. Nothing there. I'm sure there's something anyone could find. You know, I might not try the strawberry soup. I'm not a big fan of strawberry, so I think I'd probably skip out on that. But I'm a big, I'd like to smoke salmon lox. I know you don't like that, so it's kind of, well, that's the nice thing about a buffet. There's always something for everyone. The pickiest eater and the most adventurous will find something they'll enjoy.
Right.
And you like the atmosphere at 1900?
You know what, Bill? I love the atmosphere because although it's a character breakfast, it's a lot, it's more quiet. Than a lot of the weasel buffets.
I think a lot of it is because it's the face characters instead of the furry characters.
Well, Winnie, I think, is Winnie the Pooh there?
He can be. I don't know if he always is. I know that they.
It's the Mary Poppins themed.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pooh is there.
Okay.
Yeah, Pooh is there. It's just more quiet. It's more laid back. I just.
Well,
yeah,
it's
I like
at
it.
The Grand Floridian, right. So you're going to always give it a step up no matter what.
Mm hmm.
Let's check out this Contempo Cafe. How's that?
And that's where we snuck off to on Susie's birthday when we went to the Magic Kingdom with your family in 2014.
So this is a quick service at the Contemporary. And this was like one of your first pour favor tips because you can enjoy a meal on the cheap and still kind of get the atmosphere of Chef Mickey's with the monorail going around out in the open.
Yep.
You went with the Bounty Platter, right?
Yeah, I did. That was the first time I had the Bounty Platter.
And was it? Anything exceptional there, or just kind of the run-of-the-mill?
It's the same.
The only thing I have to say is the menu seems limited at the Contempo Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
At least looking here. They got the Bounty Platter, Mickey Waffles, the Contempo Special. Just says it's got chef's selections of accoutrement. I don't know what that is. Grilled breakfast sandwich with ham, egg, three cheese blend served on challah bread. That sounds good. Ham and cheese frittata, that would be good. French toast. So nothing really out of the ordinary, nothing crazy. Atmosphere you like.
Love the atmosphere.
I have to say, the food sounds much more appealing at 1900. As much as the
Contempo is a
great choice for a quick serve, it's hard to push it over a buffet.
No doubt.
All right, so moving right along, 1900 advancing to the next round. And we're going to go to the 4-13 matchup. Mm-hmm. Grand Floridian Cafe against Ohana.
Uh-huh.
Now, most people would say Ohana as a 13 seed is crazy.
Okay.
But this is breakfast we're talking about.
That is correct.
And if you're not looking for a character breakfast, this is not the place for you. Because the breakfast bounty platter that they give you, which is all you care to enjoy that they bring to the table, does not have a whole lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
We have scrambled eggs, potatoes with caramelized onions and scallions, and then sausage and bacon with some fruit, and then Mickey waffles.
Yep.
And that's it. So basically, you're getting a bounty platter.
Yep.
For anywhere from $28 to $33. Yep. Again, the price has nothing to do with what we're talking about here, but the food does, and you're getting basically quick serve food with a meet and greet lumped in.
And that's the thing. The food was okay, but it was very underwhelming.
And if you got that at Contempo, you would have been happy with
it.
Right. But you're not, because you're not there for the meet and greet, for the character experience, it's something that. Wasn't up to your standards, and that's just the difference of how you do it. If I was there with Yergina and Yergina Jr., I mean, the food, as long as it was edible and the character experiences were good, I'd probably love it.
Right.
So it's just one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, let's look at the Grand Floridian Cafe, because I'm looking at their breakfast here, and it looks like it's more of a brunch menu that they have, or at least now. I don't know. When have you gone there for breakfast?
I went there with your sister. Mm-hmm. And Susie, right before Christmas of 2015?
Okay. Because they have some some different options here. So it looks more like a brunch menu because it's showing appetizers of shrimp cocktail, onion soup, and a salad. But then you can get a bacon and egg salad, which has organic greens, frisée, quinoa, avocado, cherrywood bacon, parmesan, sherry vinaigrette, and a soft poached egg. Get a regular Cobb salad, Caesar salad, smoked salmon salad, a cafe garden quiche with spinach, feta, roasted tomato, baked in a delicate pastry crust. But then the entrees, at least most of them, are more breakfast entrees. Mm-hmm. Steak and eggs, flat iron steak with cheesy hash brown casserole, two eggs any style with chimichurri sauce. Eggs Benedict, two poached eggs, English muffin, Canadian bacon, hollandaise, marinated tomato salad, lobster Benedict, there it is, two poached eggs, toasted English muffin, butter poached lobster tail, hollandaise, and marinated tomato salad. That tomato salad sounds good.
Mm.
Mickey waffles, ham and cheese omelet. The Flagler, which is a three-egg omelet with onions, peppers, ham, served with cheesy hash brown casserole, buttermilk pancakes, French toast. Then we're into our lunch items. Reuben sandwich, Kobe burger, miso glazed salmon, penne pasta, Grand Cafe sandwich. Then they have the Grand Floridian breakfast. Two eggs with buttermilk biscuit, bacon, sausage, and cheesy hash brown casserole. You can add shrimp, lobster, cheese blintzes, corned beef hash, any of these things to any dish for a certain price here. So we're looking at more of a mix of breakfast and lunch, but it all sounds good. Do you remember what you had when you went?
Of course. I had a steak and eggs.
Yeah, that makes sense. It was good?
It was good.
So better than Ohana?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And right. As we knock out Ohana, I'll tell you, you know, like I said, that skillet was kind of underwhelming. And sometimes the service at Ohana is pretty bad. Like, I'm not one of those where I need the meat to hit my plate every 4 or 5 minutes, but I hate when you have to ask for something.
Right, especially at all you care to enjoy.
Yeah, you know, and it was the same thing for breakfast. Like, you wouldn't see them for, like, 25, 30 minutes. Hmm. And, like, your plates would be empty. And that's just something that they should stay on top of, so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're moving to 5-12 matchup here. So we have Wave of American Flavors at the Contemporary against Trattoria El Forno at the Boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
Could this be our first upset, Bill? I know you're a big fan of Wave.
Yep.
But you just recently went to Trattoria El Forno, and you had a lot of good things to say about it. So I want to hear your thoughts on this.
I'm trying to see what I even had. I had some type of Italian thing.
Right. I remember it was the scrambled eggs with tomato, basil, and mozzarella.
Mozzarella,
right?
Yep.
Mozzarella.
Let me just say that they were kind of having growing pains because they're still relatively new.
Right. But didn't you add that 6-ounce strip to this?
Yeah, I did.
For like $13? Yeah. That probably added a little bit to it.
I did. One of the problems, I will say, is that when they brought the toast out, the butter was like almost ice cold.
Oh, no.
Like you could barely get through it with your knife.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew it wasn't. You knew you weren't going to be able to spread it.
Right.
So that was an issue. The breakfast was good itself, but on a scale of 1 to 10, it was probably a 6.5.
Okay.
So you see where we're going with this.
Yeah, so what about the Wave here?
Love it.
What'd you have? Did you do the buffet?
I did the buffet twice, but what I like about the buffet is it's your typical, you know, Trails End buffet. Not a ton.
Right.
But they actually had a juice bar where they'd make homemade fresh juice for you.
Huh.
And then I thought the fruit selection was really nice, and they put them like in fancy glasses. We're not going to talk about price, but for the price point, this was a great buffet. It's basically priced at what Trails End is,
right?
But I think it's a better buffet.
Okay, that's fair. Now, this thing caught my eye here, the Wave Signature Sweet Potato Pancakes with honey, pecan, butter, choice of bacon, pork sausage, or chicken sausage. And that is apparently included on the buffet, so that's something nice. So you get a huge assortment of standard breakfast foods, also sweet potato pancakes, multigrain waffles, hard-boiled eggs, cheesy grits, steel-cut oatmeal, and more. Served with a choice of juice, coffee, tea, or soft drinks. Then you said like a fruit plate appetizer you can get. They have freshly pressed juice smoothie bowl, which comes with yogurt and seasonal accompaniments.
And look at that, $10.
Citrus-scented brioche. Yeah, citrus-scented brioche French toast, seasonal fruit compote, choice of bacon, pork, or chicken sausage. Florida rock shrimp omelet with avocado, pepper jack cheese, and breakfast potatoes. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Continental breakfast for $8, croissant, Danish butter and jam with your choice of coffee or tea. So that's for your light eater in the group.
I love sometimes how you that's have just the enough. Egg white fricotta, and you just completely skip that
one. Oh, yeah. Egg white frittata, spinach, mushrooms, poblano peppers, cheddar, and pico de gallo. That actually sounds pretty good.
It actually does sound pretty good.
Eggs Benedict, it's with the Canadian bacon, the regular kind of Eggs Benedict, and then all the assorted drinks and things you can get. Oh, look at this. A Bay Lake Bloody Mary, St. Augustine Distillery, Florida, cane vodka, Bloody Mary mix garnished with chorizo, cheddar, and olives. You might have to go back, do some reporting on this Bay Lake Bloody Mary.
Oh, yeah.
It's got chorizo on it, Bill.
That's true.
Sounds good to me. I think you made your intentions known of what you want moving on here.
Yeah, so I love the wave. I honestly think it's one of the best kept secrets. And it's in the bottom of the Contemporary. And I've looked at their dinner and lunch menu, and it's a great place. I love the wave.
See, I didn't know if you kind of like set it up as an upset here or not, but you're sticking with the chalk so far.
I am.
Which is fine. Now we have 6-11, Kona against Trail's End. And this one puts me in a tough spot because Kona is like the top on my list for must try for breakfast. It's probably the place I would go to next for breakfast. But I love Trail's End. That was a good buffet.
Mm-hmm.
Solid buffet.
Why don't you talk about frills. That? Because this is one of the few places that you've been to.
All right, so the buffet we went, we had a big party. They gave us a nice table. The service was good, not great. It was a little tough getting enough coffee for everybody, but that was okay. We got that straightened out. But the price point, like you said, is fantastic.
Yep.
The pastries and things like that, all very good. But some of their signature options for breakfast, they had meatloaf. They had fried chicken.
Yep.
They had, let's see what else it says they have here. Breakfast pizza, breakfast hash, Mickey waffles, Eggs Benedict, biscuits and gravy, French toast custard pudding. That was good. I had some of that. They have a warm apple compote. I didn't try that. Vegetable frittata, yogurt parfait station, oatmeal, cheese grits. So it's all the common stuff. You know, you get the potatoes, the eggs, all that, sausage, bacon. The breakfast pizza, I didn't try that. People seem to like that there. It didn't really look that great to me.
Yeah, it's not something I want to fill up on.
No. The one thing I do have to say, because I'm a big fan of sausage gravy, theirs wasn't that good.
Okay.
Because I tried it, and I wasn't that impressed with it. The biscuits were like a little dry, and the gravy was just okay. But everything else was really good. The fried chicken was excellent. I had that on a waffle, so like a chicken and waffle.
Yeah.
Was very good. The meatloaf was good. The pastry things, like that French toast pudding was excellent. I know they have really good cinnamon buns. I didn't try one of those. So I did like it. I liked it a lot. The atmosphere is really nice. Going out to the campground, the Fort Wilderness campground, is always fun. It was a good place. But again, Kona, man, that's up there on my list of things I got to try for breakfast.
No, you've got that menu pulled up. Do you want to do the... their signature?
My problem with this is I don't know what I could get. There's too many good things.
Yeah.
Like this Loco Moco, this is the first time I'm even hearing of this. Traditional island brunch staple which features a tower of rice, a grilled hamburger patty, house-made chorizo gravy, two eggs any style, and topped with tomato salsa. Like, I don't know how you could not get that. But then you go and look at the next two options on the list, and you have Tonga Toast, which is like the signature option. You tried that. Banana stuffed sourdough French toast rolled in cinnamon sugar served with a strawberry compote with your choice of ham, bacon, or sausage.
Now, hold on a second, Bill.
Yes.
Yeah, because I have had the Tonga Toast, but I'm looking at this Loco Moco.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to go up there and get this. I might go up there like Friday morning before the games start.
Just for that.
How ridiculous would that be if I drove up there just to have that for breakfast? It's only $12.
Yeah. And you can do tables.
Could you imagine on my day off if I go up there and just have breakfast and then come back and watch college basketball? That's a day, is it not?
That is very much. I'm looking at a picture of this thing I found. It looks gorgeous, Bill.
This
looks a little small.
Loco Moco?
Yeah, let me send you this picture.
Well, for crying out loud, Bill, I've worked 12 straight days to save some money to eat. I could probably get two of them, right?
I mean, you could go, like, do the big kahuna and just get a Loco Moco on the side.
Yeah, for an appetizer. Can I get an appetizer? We don't have appetizers. I'll have the Loco Moco.
Yes, you do. The Loco Moco is an appetizer.
Let me see this thing. Oh, that thing's gorgeous.
You know what I mean? It looks a little small.
Yep.
But I'm sure it would hit the spot. anything. I mean, really, all the options there are fantastic.
Oh, that's gorgeous, Bill.
We have that Loco Moco, the Tonga Toast, which you had, and I wasn't expecting you to like that, but you loved it.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good.
You liked that strawberry sauce that came with it?
Yeah, I liked that better than the maple, yep.
Sir, yeah. Then Susie had the Big Kahuna, which is something I would go with. The French toast, pancakes topped with pineapple sauce and macadamia nut butter, eggs, potatoes, ham, bacon, and sausage. Then you can get those macadamia pineapple pancakes on their own. Steak and eggs.
That was fantastic. I've had that a couple times. That's fantastic.
Right. Everything there sounds good. The Samoan, which is poached eggs with hollandaise served over smoked pulled pork hash. That sounds good. They have the regular staples like pancakes, French toast, egg white omelet, ham and cheese omelet. All that stuff. Man, it all sounds good. I don't know. It's hard for me to pick Trail's End over those options. Loco Moco, Tonga Toast, Big Kahuna.
Yeah.
I think Kona has to move on.
I'm moving.
I thought Trail's End might had a chance, but no way.
Yeah, going in, I thought maybe Trail's End was going to be the first upset of the night, but looking at that menu and reminiscing the couple times I've been there, Kona's a great, great spot for breakfast.
All right, so Kona moves on. We're on to the 710, Whispering Canyon against Rainforest Cafe.
And Rainforest Cafe is a place that doesn't get much respect. Not many people talk about it. They think of it as a cheerleader joint.
Completely under the radar.
Completely under the radar. And there was one at the Mall of America, and I just refused to go there because I didn't like the way it was themed. It just didn't do anything for me. And then when I first moved down here, I went to dinner with your family, and I had a good dinner, and I actually liked the theming. I thought it was going to be too loud, but it's nice in there. It's not too loud, and I thought the food was really good. I was surprised, and the food was really good. So then a couple years ago, Susie's Dartmouth alumni group, Orlando chapter, had a breakfast, and it was at Rainforest Cafe because they wanted to have it at a centrally located, but for people who didn't have annual passes. And I went up there, and boy, did I have a great breakfast.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
And you were kind of surprised, weren't you?
I didn't think it'd be that great, but you liked it. Now, I'm looking at this menu here. It's got breakfast of bandits, two eggs prepared anyway with bacon, sausage, potatoes, and toast. Benedict Bomba, traditional eggs Benedict with Canadian bacon. Egg white omelet, Aussie's omelet, three egg omelet with potatoes and toast. Add extra items for only 50 cents each, but you get to pick certain options, I think. So you can pick between cheddar, onion, mushroom, sausage, bacon, ham, peppers, spinach, black olives, tomato, or broccoli. Tonga toast, which is different than the one at Kona.
It's a different Kona. Yeah, it's different from Kona.
But it's cinnamon French toast with warm maple syrup topped with strawberries and bananas. Mm-hmm. So the other one's stuffed with bananas, you get the sauce. So this one's kind of topped with that.
Right.
A wild waffle with strawberries, bananas, and maple syrup. Cranberry waffle, baked with cranberries and topped with raspberry sauce. That sounds good. Pie of the Viper, which is a Mexican-style breakfast pizza with salsa, scrambled eggs, tomatoes, spicy and sweet, green and poblano, peppers, cilantro, cheddar cheese, mozzarella, bacon and sausage. Cisco and Pancho is a flat iron steak with two eggs prepared your way, breakfast potatoes and toast. Forest combo is oatmeal with fruit. Breakfast sliders with egg, bacon, and cheese served with breakfast potatoes. So pretty much normal stuff with fancy names. You liked it. Did you like it better than Whispering Canyon Cafe?
Well, we haven't talked about Whispering Canyon yet. I'll tell you, what we did was we got a platter, and it came with all those good. So it came with the scrambled eggs, the sausage, the bacon.
Yep. Sausage and gravy.
And
potatoes.
The potatoes, and it also came with the Tonga toast. That came separately. So.
Oh, at the Rainforest.
Yes.
Oh, okay, so they had it like as a party kind of thing.
Correct.
Which is not an option you can get there.
Right.
That was like a catering kind of thing.
Right.
So that might sway you a little.
It could put it over the top, but then again, if it's not available for the average person, then we have to take that into consideration.
Right, that's not really fair to say it's great because of that, because you can't get that.
Mm-hmm.
But at Whispering Canyon, you can.
Yes, let's look at that menu. Get the
all you care to enjoy breakfast platter, which has beautiful eggs.
And potatoes. What do we call that at Whispering Canyon Cafe? It's called
the filth platter.
Yeah. That's right.
But we have all those things. Eggs, potatoes, bacon, sausage, waffles, buttermilk cheddar biscuits, and sausage gravy.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go off platter. You can get Farmer Mike's ham and cheese omelet.
Farmer Mike. That's silly, isn't it?
Doc Willis's egg white omelet. You get eggs any style. House-made banana bread French toast. That sounds good. Mm-hmm. With banana Foster sauce, served with your choice of bacon or sausage. You can get regular pancakes, chocolate chip pancakes, a Belgian waffle. That's about it. No steak and eggs. I'm a little surprised I didn't have that at that place. It seemed like that'd be right up their alley, but you know what? I don't know how you could go there and not get the platter.
Yeah.
The price point is there. Fantastic. And you just get a little bit of everything as much as you want.
Yep.
I'm not a huge fan of Rainforest, although I did have a fantastic Bloody Mary there. I'm dying to try Whispering Canyon, so I'm gonna have to say that would get my vote, but yeah, I could be swayed.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna go with Whispering Canyon because I love the atmosphere. I love that restaurant. Kind of wakes you up in the morning too, because you come out, you're tired, and you're starting to have that breakfast. You're having coffee, and there's a little bit of noise. So if you're not into that, don't hit that spot. But I enjoy it. It's a good way to start the day. That breakfast platter is fantastic. The service there is always good. Always good.
Yeah, it's like themed service. They really go all out.
Yeah, but they're on top of it. You know, like when I said Ohana, you kind of had to wait. Oh man, they're on top of it over there.
Well, they bring you stuff you don't want.
Yeah.
What you say? You asked for just like bacon, and they brought
me. They still brought me a whole new platter. Yeah.
All right, our last matchup in the first round is 8-9. We have Las Ventanas versus Cape May Cafe. Las Ventanas is the newer joint at Coronado. Their breakfast menu looks pretty good. You had, what did you have there? The steak and eggs, I assume?
Wait, Las Ventanas?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh,
keep looking at that menu, Bill.
I see a chorizo skillet now.
Yeah, you see it. Chitty skillet.
Chitty's potatoes, peppers, onions, and garlic with fresh eggs and Monterey Jack cheese omelet. That sounds fantastic. Yeah. I remember you sent that picture of the dirt, greasy filth.
Ah, remember when it looked like the tent? Looked like somebody opened the door to the tent? Remember how was I able to get that? Only I could get a picture like that.
Yeah, right?
Man, you could have used that as an umbrella. That thing was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Just holding the grease at the bottom. Oh.
The Ventanas breakfast is two eggs any style with peppercorn bacon or grilled ham, served with scallion potatoes, vegetable omelet, spinach tomatoes, cremini mushrooms, and Asiago cheese.
That's actually what Susie had, and she said it was fantastic.
Oh, good. Steak and eggs, twin medallions of sirloin, and two eggs any style, served with potatoes.
Now, when you said, oh, good, that sounds like you weren't very interested in what Susie had. Is that correct?
I wasn't. It was vegetable omelet. I don't know if you've heard that. There was no meat involved. I'm glad she liked it, though. I do like Asiago, though. I will have to say, the Asiago cheese probably would push it over the edge. What do you think about this huevos benedicto? Soft corn arepas, seared pork belly, soft poached eggs, and roasted poblano hollandaise served with chilaquiles.
Now,
however you say
that. My question back to you is, what do you think about that?
That sounds fantastic.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it's basically like Eggs Benedict, but kind of with a Mexican flair. Mm-hmm. You get that pork belly, poached eggs, poblano hollandaise. Ooh, that sounds good. Huevos divorcados. I don't know what that means. Two eggs, any style, served on a cheese quesadilla with black beans and scallion potatoes, topped with fresh salsa roja, salsa verde, and queso fresco. $12.99. That sounds good.
I think the C may have been silent. It may have been huevos divorciados.
Divorciados. That sounds good. See, you did know Spanish. Get that shitty skillet we talked about. Sourdough French toast, whole wheat pancakes, a continental breakfast, and assorted cereals. That's a nice menu there. Service was good?
Oh, service was great. Service was really good.
Food was good?
Food was fantastic. Coffee was really good, too.
Oh, good. I like this aspect here. A side dish. Chorizo sausage patty for $4.25.
Let me inform you, when you were concerned about Susie not having meat,
she got a side of
chorizo. She got some meat, and I'll tell you, Bill, we still have that review locked and loaded, waiting to go. It is Ed Cooley. Yeah. Ed Cooley from Central High School. I might actually root for PC. I used to hate them, but I like the local guy coaching.
I like Ed Cooley.
I love Ed Cooley.
Makes it hard to hate them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we used to just hate them because they had a lot of weasels. You know, Richard Pitino, and Gillum was Pete always Gillum. Kind of a goofball. And I never really liked the guy,
Tim Welsh?
No, I didn't mind him. He was all right. It was the guy Barnes? Before him. Yeah, Richard Barnes, who went to Texas.
Yeah.
Another big clown.
Flamed out there.
Yeah, but, oh, that shit, he's... Yeah, I was saying that we have a show ready to go.
Oh, beautiful.
The review of Las Ventanas. Bill, those shitty's patties.
Yeah.
And they were, I could put them in an envelope, and it probably wouldn't take more than a regular stamp.
Yeah.
And I should send one of those up to you.
That sounds good
to
me.
I wonder if I could do that. Can you put food, or is that, like, against the law?
Some of the hippies come to get me. Cooked food? I don't know if it would last. You'd have to, like, freeze dry.
Would you laugh if you went to the mail and it was just a grease-stained envelope?
You have to get, like, one of those padded envelopes.
I put the return address Las Ventanas so you know where it was.
Yeah.
Michael P. Hurley, Las Ventanas.
Las Ventanas.
It's like your wiener wrappers. It's just covered with grease. It's just
dripping, see-through at that point.
Yeah, you could see it. But anyways, those things are tasty.
All right, now we're moving on because we have to talk about Cape May.
Yeah.
And this buffet that we went together... It was good. It was a very good breakfast buffet. Now, if you're
there's a but. I can tell because you and I have such good chemistry that there's a but coming there.
Yes, I would say that if you compare it to like Boma, it doesn't come close. Mm-hmm. But if you compare it to other breakfasts, I liked it a lot. They had the crepe station, which was fantastic. That's very unique.
Is it crepe or crepe?
Crepe. I don't know.
Crepe I'd have station. To ask like our French correspondent, Susie.
They have those shitty scrambled eggs with four cheese, mm-hmm. Breakfast potatoes, they had carving stations, they had French toast with caramel banana sauce, Mickey waffles, all sorts of stuff. There were good options. It definitely had more options than like Trail's End or Chef Mickey's would have.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the nice meet and greet, which was good because we had your Gina with us, so that was a nice addition to the meal, I would say. That Las Ventanas sounds good, but I'm still leaning Cape May. I had a good experience there. I enjoyed it. But I'm going to let you can...
I'm going with Las Ventanas.
Okay.
And it was a close matchup because it was 8-9.
8-9, yeah, it went to overtime.
But I'm going to say Las Ventanas is probably one of my favorite just regular non-buffet places.
Yeah.
And Cape May Cafe is probably third or fourth.
Not one buffet. Of your favorite buffets. Yeah.
It was okay. It's loud. Mm-hmm. It is a huge weasel factor.
That is a big weasel factor.
Food's very good. But Las Ventanas, I think, is kind of like the Wave.
Yeah,
it's one of those places that every radar. People who are going to be listening to the show are going to... Where is that? I've never heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Complete non-cheerleader place. There's nobody in there. It's always empty, and the food's fantastic. Yeah, so that's the first round. Gary, you want to read the... you want to tally up the winners of the first round?
Yeah, so our next matchups that we will have going forward, we have Boma against Las Ventanas in the 1-8.
And that's an interesting, that's a Kansas URI.
That'll be a good matchup, yep. Certainly. We have Captain's Grill going up against Whispering Canyon, 2-7 matchup. 1900 Park Fair against Kona, and Grand Floridian Cafe against Wave of American Flavors. I'm looking at this list, Bill. We got Grand Floridian. Contemporary, Grand Floridian, Polynesian. I see where your bread's buttered. You're a monorail guy, huh?
Yeah, I kind of am.
It's hard to go against those places, but
oh, I love
there's
those.
There's some good variety though, because we got Animal Kingdom, we got Coronado, Boardwalk, you know, Whispering Canyon over at the Wilderness Lodge. Mm-hmm. So it's a good mix of places.
Yeah, everybody's represented
for sure.
The deluxes are definitely represented.
Well, I mean, there's a reason they're deluxe. There's more dining options, and they're good options.
Yeah, they are.
But also, there's not many breakfast sit-downs at the Moderates.
No, really,
Las Ventanas, I think, is the only one, because Shutters doesn't,
and...
Boatwright doesn't.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, where else are you going to go? We can do the quick serves that we talked about, but those don't hold up to the sit-downs mm-hmm. by any stretch. They're good, but they can't really compare. All right, so we're gonna table the rest of this to come back and crown a winner next week, I guess.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. Let's go to break.
Sounds good.
All right.
All
podcast. We just went through our 1 through 16 on March Madness for breakfast sit-downs. Outside of the park, no less.
Yes. Yeah, there's not many breakfast inside the parks that either of us have been to.
No, I mean, you know, everybody's been to the place at Epcot.
Sunshine.
Yeah.
Yep. And you know what I didn't even think about? A place that I've been to for breakfast is Be Our Guest.
Mm.
Which would not have gone far in this.
Yeah, yeah. Put it that way. Yeah, you told me you were disappointed with that place.
It was good, and I know we weren't taking price into account, but I felt like I got ripped off there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hard to overlook when that's part of it.
Right.
It's part of the experience. If you told me, okay, compare everything pop to Be Our Guest, I'd say the Be Our Guest food was better, but for, what, three times the price?
Right.
It's hard to take that out of it, but I don't know. Anyway, that wasn't even in here, so I'm getting off topic. It was good. A good lively discussion, but that was the easy part, if you think about it.
Yeah, now comes the tough part.
Because now we're narrowing down these topics.
That's where you really have to do your homework.
Yeah, definitely a lot of homework. There's going to be videos watched on YouTube in the next week. I'm going to try to like make some of these things. I'm still going to make something. Maybe I'll try to make one of these breakfast entrees for my pour favor food.
Yeah, we are in March.
Because there could be a Tonga toast. I could go for a Tonga toast. That doesn't seem like it would be too crazy to make. Because you just need the bread and then some bananas. I have that kind of stuff. I'm going to look into that, see if I can maybe do a Tonga toast.
That's beautiful.
Anyway, that again, getting off topic. Well, I guess it's on topic, just extending
topic,
the
yeah.
episode. Now, something we didn't get to in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Who do you got in your Final Four, Bill? Not breakfast Final Four, the NCAA Final Four.
I haven't done a bracket.
Who you looking at? Who do you like? I know you like the Jayhawks. You got to be picking them. They're doing good.
Yep.
Although they didn't look so good against TCU.
You know what? You know what's funny? Because they self-benched one of their stars. He's going to go in the first round.
Oh, yeah.
In the tournament. And he benched him. And they said that he was hurt, and they struggled against TCU. And this guy said, he goes, although I don't think TCU is going to win, he said, I think it's going to be a five-point game.
Yeah.
And he nailed it.
Yeah, that's right.
He nailed it. Who's your Final Four?
I have, now I got to try to remember exactly, because I did it quick yesterday. Mm-hmm. I have Arizona winning the whole shebang. I don't know why. I'm not a huge fan. I just think the Pac-12 was good this year. Arizona's solid. I don't like picking the number ones, so I went with a little outside the box. But that's really I have Villanova, Arizona, North Carolina, and Michigan in my Final Four. So Michigan's my sleeper. Arizona I have as a 2 seed coming out of the West going on to the national championship against North Carolina in the final game. I haven't seen many games this year, so I'm way out of the dark. So this will be the year I nail it because I haven't watched.
Yeah, because you haven't really thought too much.
I hope
about
Rhode
it.
Island has a little run. They're an 11 seed. A lot of people are picking them to go to the Sweet 16. They're like the in vogue Cinderella pick this year, so that could be the kiss of death, but I hope they do okay. Like you said, almost want to root for Providence a little bit. Almost. I wouldn't mind if they win.
They're down 10-4 right now.
That's not
to
a
USC,
good start.
By the way.
Not a good start for them. But then, if they win that game, they got to go on SMU, and that's a good ball club. I have SMU going pretty far in the tournament as well. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We didn't do a pool for the Por Favor audience this year. We weren't on top of our game, but that's okay.
But I'll tell you, I'm going to go to Kansas
again.
Okay,
that makes sense.
And I'll tell you why. I mean, yeah, I'm a front runner and I love Kansas, but it's always guard play that comes into play in the tournament. And I think they have the best guards in the country. Frank Mason's probably going to win the AP Player of the Year. And I think, actually, it was a good thing that they lost in the first round because they got a week off. Because these conference tournaments, you and I both know, are just a waste of time.
Yeah, unless you need to
you
win.
You can play your way in, but you're not really playing for
seeding. I
don't
think Rhode Island would say it's a waste.
I was wrong last week when I said if they lost in the first round, they were going to be the number one overall. And I was wrong. It was Villanova. Yeah. But Villanova got screwed.
Well.
For being the number one overall. Because now they got a tougher seeding than the Jayhawks. And I mean, the conference tournament really doesn't matter. They don't really care. It's like playing in the Melnick
Bowl.
No,
it's when you have a seed, a top four seed locked up, it doesn't matter in the conference tournament. But it helps teams like Michigan They had mm-hmm. that really nice run. Now they got a 7th seed. It helps teams like URI, obviously, to get in when they were on the bubble.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. You can play yourself in. And, like, if you've lost, like, 2 or 3 in a row and you're still a number 4 seed, you want to play well right. in the tournament. When you're a team like Kansas or Villanova, it really doesn't matter. You can lose the first game. It's not going to kill your chemistry.
I don't think it would make much of a difference if Villanova hadn't won the Big East tournament.
Exactly.
Although they're looking good. They're getting hot at the right time again.
Yeah, I haven't watched much of them, but man, they're good. They're good. Jay Wright's fantastic.
They got that
Jay
good
Wright.
Guard play you're talking about, so they have a chance to repeat as champs. That would be kind of crazy if they did.
I mean, it always is, though. Even when URI made a couple runs, they were never in the top 25 when they went to the tournament. I think the 98 team, they were 24 or 25 going in. But they had probably top 5 guard play in the country,
Mobley,
and that's
really,
what got them. And Garrick and Owens.
Oh, back in 88, yeah.
Back in 88, yeah. It's just, you got a duo of gods, and you can make a good run.
That's definitely true. We'll see how it pans out. So at least our picks are on the record, and we can't be weasels about it in a few weeks.
You got Arizona, I got Kansas.
All right, sounds good. Bring us home, Bill.
All right, you want to do the social media?
Sure, you can find us online at PorFavorPodcast.com, on Facebook and Twitter at PorFavorPodcast. YouTube is YouTube.com/PorFavorPodcast. We are also able to be emailed, info@PorFavorPodcast.com. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Search for Por Favor Podcast. Email me, Gary@PorFavorPodcast.com. Mike, you wanted to give yours?
You can email me, Mike@PorFavorPodcast.com. And I am also on Twitter @PorFavorMike.
Beautiful.
All right, thanks for listening to episode 159 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro de los Podcast. From Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, I'm Mike in sunny Southwest Florida. We'll talk to you next week.